As a third-round pick in 1993, Terry Kirby wasted no time making an impact on the Miami Dolphins offense, setting rookie records with 75 receptions and 874 yards. TK would add another 66 receptions 2 years later and had become one of Dan Marino's favorite targets. But when Jimmy Johnson replaced Don Shula in 1996, it all came to a screeching halt.
Right then, I kind of understood, and I had rumored that I was going to be traded. And I remember coming back, and I went right up to his office. You know, I went up to his office and said, "Hey, coach, you know, I know that you're looking to trade me and stuff. And, you know, if you are, just go ahead and just let me know now, because I don't want to go out to practice and get hurt. And next thing you know, my worth is nothing." So that was one of the things I was sitting there like, man, after playing 3 years here, and this was, you know, this was my home. You know what I mean? This is where, you know, I wanted to end my career. And to have it go down the way it went down with that, you know, it was devastating.
I'm OJ McDuffie, the Miami Dolphins' first-round selection in that same 1993 draft class.
And I'm Seth Levitt, a former member of the team's media relations department, and in this episode of The Fish Tank, the running back out of Virginia opens up about the impact that trade had on him, reflects on his brief but extremely productive years as a Dolphin, and shares his new passion for cornhole.
Yo, DJ Priest.
Let's do this.
You're now diving into The Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank, right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt, DJ Priest is in the back. Juice. Back in the Wingfield living room.
Man, oh man. Good to be back, bro. As usual. Always good to be back, man. A lovely setup right here. I see you rocking that nice little throwback shirt.
I had to go old school. Old school. we're running it back again. Terry Kirby dives back into the tank for the second time. TK, how you feeling, man?
Appreciate you, man. Man, you guys are moving on up in here, man. I like the Jefferson. Which one is Wheezy and which one is George?
I'm George.
He was quick to that. I'll be whoever. As long as I got a seat. As long as I got a seat in the tower. So yeah, it's been great. They've been really kind to us and tolerated us here now going on 3 years.
Yeah. It's been nice.
Incredible. Awesome. But you were one of the original guests in the Fish Tank when were we still at Juice's?
We were in the pool table.
Yeah.
We're on the pool table.
Original. OG.
Pool table slash weight room. Yeah. Slash everything. All the jerseys, you name it.
I love
utility
it.
Room.
The right. Utility room. I like that.
It's an empty room right now, but it's all good.
Well, it's good to have you back. And we're going to get into a lot, although it was a little bit of a challenge to say, what are we going to talk about? Because we talked about so much. Although I re-listened to it, Juice, and at the end of it, he goes, I got a lot more.
Yeah.
I got a lot more. But what I want to start off with is about 2-3 weeks after you came on, one of your college teammates dove in the tank, Mr. Mark Dixon.
Yes, sir.
And he had a few things to say about your hoop game. And you were a little heated because I was like, well, wait a second. How come he got to say this? When am I coming back in? Now, it took us four damn years.
It took us 4 years.
You know, so well, let's revisit. So Mark Dixon said that TK liked to pull the trigger. And hell, if I had played high school ball with TK, I would have led the nation in rebounds.
That's probably true, though.
Yeah.
Because actually what happened was my cousin Chris Slade did.
Okay. So what did
it was fine. He had, over almost, I don't know, 1,500 rebounds.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Gotcha.
So it was about the same.
Well, how many of those were?
Was that missed?
But the thing is, remember, I had over 2,000 points in high school.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I did shoot. But, hey, if you don't shoot, you don't score. If you don't score, you don't win.
It's true.
Fair enough.
It's true.
And you shot.
I shot.
And you scored.
Hell yeah. I had the Kobe mentality before Kobe had it.
Okay.
So you should. I mean, you know, you've been to the ball up to the house. I mean,
oh yeah.
TK, he was no shot. He was not shy.
Well, it was a business decision because if you ran with TK, you were probably going to get to run a few times in a row.
True.
You're going to win some games.
True.
You just had to play good defense and distribute.
That's it.
Because you weren't going to get a lot of shots.
Y'all like going up. Man, y'all like really set me out. Like, I didn't shoot. I mean.
We welcome you into our living room here.
Man,
now we're coming at
like,
you hard.
Man, you're coming at me that hard. I mean. Honestly,
TK,
if you think about my winning percentage at Juice's house, pretty damn good.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it ain't like I took bad shots.
No.
There is no such thing as a bad shot.
My point is that you're going to win.
Absolutely.
You're going to get a lot of run. You just probably, if you're a guy that likes to shoot the ball as well, you might need to make a different choice.
That's not true. I shared.
Okay.
Yeah, I did share. Juice, I was on. Yeah, we share.
Good teammate.
So maybe it's just me.
Depends on who was on the team. I mean,
you
know, right?
Seth, yeah. You played good defense. I knew that's what you were there for.
I didn't play no damn defense. I would hustle.
I mean, that's a hustle. That's a defense.
And I was willing to pass.
That's one of the pass.
Always, bro. He passed too much.
Oh, yeah. He passed. That's your fault for passing up a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot it. But we had to say, Seth, shoot it. True. They'd leave you open. Shoot it, Seth.
Yeah. Every now and then. Every now and then.
Yeah. But like we stated before, though, TK, you know, you and I were in the same draft class, which is awesome. Wide receiver, running back. We were roommates. You know, we definitely kicked it a little bit down here too, didn't we? A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. He's getting all nervous. He's like, where are you going with this one, dude?
I'm just trying to figure this one out, man. I am in your living room, but man, come on now.
Seth and I were trying to figure out, you know, what can we talk about that we hadn't talked about before, like you said. But we had JT in the tank. And he had a story about Michael Jordan.
Hmm.
He had a story about Michael Jordan and when he came over to camp. But I said, wait a minute, I remember a story about TK when he was with us, him and Eric Green. Every time the Bulls were in town, TK and Eric used to go down and somehow found their way on the same car table as Michael Jordan.
Ooh.
Tell us about your when the Bulls came to town and when
that's brave.
Yeah, let me tell you. Over.
That was, an interesting night, I guess you would say. Every time they came in town, you know, Jordan would call. We'd go down to his room. Back then, they were staying at the Mayfair.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have a nice little card game going on. And it's kind of hard to play cards and bluff Michael Jordan. So we're sitting there, and we're playing and playing and playing. And I feel like I got this great hand. And I'm betting. And Jordan looks at me. He goes, look. Telling you, don't do it.
He let you know.
And I'm like, man, is he bluffing me now? Or is he not bluffing me? I'm like, do I take a chance? Do I not take a chance? You know, you sitting there, you shaking. You're like, man, I don't, you know what? I'm going to try it.
Ooh.
Big mistake. Big mistake. He had it. He tried to warn. He goes, Rook, I tried to tell you. So it's, you know, it's very interesting thing about Jordan is, you know, when you play cards with the guy, it's hard to bluff a guy that has that amount of money.
Right. He's not worried about losing.
He's not worried about losing. And he's going to keep playing and playing and playing until he wins. You know what I mean?
Once I lose, I'm out.
You know what I mean?
He won't let you leave.
Yeah. He won't let you leave. That's one thing about him. He's just competitive, you know, and that's one of the best things about Mike. He's such a great person that, you know, even after that, you know, we'd hang out the night before a game. I mean, he's probably the only guy I know that can stay out until 3-4 o'clock, get up, golf, and then play a game that night and drop 50 points.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing about him, his just mentality and how, you know, how competitive the guy is at everything.
How'd you get invited to the car game in
that's
the first
place?
That's
what I want to know.
I've known Mike for a while, you know, just from, you know, with my brother playing in Major League Baseball and then with Eric Green and then his buddy Wes, who
Fresh West. Somehow I knew
Adolph, who was Jordan's guy back in the day too. So it's a full circle. So it was like when he came down here, you know, he either wanted to play golf, you know, go out, smoke cigars, you know, drink a little light beer here, there. And that was just what we did, you know. That's one thing that we miss. Yeah, take your money. You know, that's one thing that we do, you know, about athletes back in our time. No matter what sport you played, if you're a professional guy and you're a cool guy, you were always in the mix of every single sport. And, you know, I'm not sure how the young guys are with that now, but with us back in the day, that was a highlight of our life, you know what I mean? Because we were young, you know, 22, and all of a sudden, you know, even when I went to Jordan's 40th birthday party in D.C. when he was playing with the Wizards, you know, I got invited to that, and I'm sitting there like, wow, you know, I'm sitting here with Michael Jordan's 40th birthday party that he just came back and started playing again.
Right.
You know, when you're in that circle and you're good friends and you're, you know, you're a good person, that's, you know, that's how you keep everything going.
Nice. I just think that, like, if I'm going to go play cards somewhere and put money on the table, I don't want to play against a guy. I'm wearing his shoes. Like, if you walk in and you're wearing a man's shoes, he might just have some deep pockets.
Absolutely. Or he may send you a pair if you lose.
Right. Well, I hope he at least did that. Now, did he, when you chose Virginia, and we don't have to relive all that, we heard all about the recruiting trips, was North Carolina ever in the conversation? Because, you know, you were an All-American basketball player as well. Did you get that call?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I had the opportunity to do that, but I knew it was going to be – that was such a – higher level basketball,
right.
You know what I mean? Not Virginia wasn't, it's just, it was going to be very hard for me to break the ground there. And then actually behind me from my hometown was the other one, Ronald Curry, who was number one basketball player and number one football player in the country right behind me who actually went there and actually played both there. So, it was an opportunity for me to play there, but I didn't want to go there and play football and basketball.
Got it. So I'm going to shift gears. We will talk a little bit of Dolphins. Might as well make sense, right? I want to not go all the way back, but actually just to last year. And after the games, as the games would wind down, because we did post game, we would Travis and I would jump out of the press box and we'd kind of walk around the concourse there and head over to meet Juice at the Larry Zonka conference room. And we would do the post game show. And it was during that win streak, and Waddle just started taking off. This is when he was getting 10, 12 catches a game. And I bump into you, and you know, and they were balling, you know, and he's dealing the whole thing, and you were like, yeah, I was like, hey, TK, what do you think about the kid? And he's like, yeah, he can play, but he's breaking all my damn records, you know, all your rookie reception records. So what is that like as a guy who still stays as involved with the organization as you do, to see the young guys come in and contribute and start to, I mean, in some way, shape, or form, not erase your name from the record books, but to leapfrog. What does that feel like?
I think it's a great feeling, you know, and it's kind of funny because, you know, over the offseason, Waddle would come into my gym and work out at Ultimate Sports, and he walked in, and he had met me before, but he didn't really meet me in my atmosphere, and he came over. I go, man, I can't believe you got me. I said, you got me. I said, that hurts. Yeah. I said, you wait until late in the season too. I mean, you know, it's like you still have more games to go, but I still let him know he's a receiver, not a running back.
There you go.
Facts. I do let him know.
Right. How did he take it? What did he say?
He just started laughing about it. He understood. Yeah. You know, I mean, for me, that's the one good thing that I can say about that. For me, being a running back and actually having that many catches, and doing what I did out of the backfield and getting open, you know, that was, I can't take anything away from that.
No.
I mean, it's a big difference.
Well, yeah. And so, and I want to ask you about that, Terry. Is that like, how does a guy, first of all, a rookie, just to get that involved in the offense, but as a rookie and coming out of the backfield, how did you find yourself becoming such an integral part of the offense that year in 93?
Well, I can tell you why. If you think about it, we had OJ, Keith Jackson, Urban Fryer, Mark Ingram.
Yeah, so like, wow, that's Myers, a whole lot of cats
Keith
to throw
Myers.
To.
So the best part about that is all those guys are going to get double teamed, and I was always going to be one-on-one.
Yeah.
So that was one of the best things about our offense. I mean, we had so many weapons, and they're not going to double team a back. It's just not going to happen. When you got Juice in the slot, come on, you know, you're going to double team that. You got Irving on the outside, and then K-Jack, of course, and at the tight end. Yeah. Either he was going to get open or I was going to get open because the slot receiver is going to be the ones that don't get double teamed most of the time. So that was one of the best things about our offense because we actually were so interchangeable. You know, our entire running backs with Keith Byers and myself and the receivers, we all knew everybody's position. So
you
it was made us so that's what made us so effective and so great at what we did at that time.
So we line up run 86, he can run it from the backfield, which is halfback option, or you can run in the slot option, same thing. So we actually had it where it was nice where you can go and base set with 21 personnel, and then we could spread that all out where Keith's in one slot, TK's in another one, or TK's in the backfield, and Keith Jackson's outside in the slot. We go almost like four wides. But one thing Terry didn't say about, you know, why he was in there too, is Terry knew the offense like he talked about, but his pass pro was really good, you know, because Danny hadn't having it. If you can't, you can't block. You know,
you didn't have Danny the whole year, right?
I guess
just to get in there at that point.
To get started. Terry was playing right from the beginning.
Right.
So it was like,
to get that many receptions, right?
Yeah.
Was there a point in time where you were like, at first, you're like, holy shit, like I'm involved and I'm just, and it was kind of all new and fresh. And like, did it click at some point where it wasn't new and fresh anymore and it just was your job and you didn't have that mentality? Or the entire season, was it just kind of magic?
It was awesome. I mean, the one thing about it was it's one of those things where you're in the groove. When you're playing this game and you get to third and four, third and three, you know, third and five, it ain't like you got to go deep. You know, it's about getting open. So we didn't have to throw the ball to get that first down and keep the chains moving. You know, keeping the chains moving, if I couldn't get 5 yards and get open, you know what, there's a problem. If Juice wasn't going to get open on a slant or a hitch to get 3 or 4, 5 yards, you know what, we weren't going to move the chains. So that's what made it great about our offense. You know, we didn't have to always throw the ball down the field that far.
Yeah, but didn't you have a game where you had like 130-something yards receiving? I mean, that was a lot of 5-yard catches. There might be some that are
a couple big ones.
Remember, there were a couple big ones. Big ones in there. Yeah. That was a choice route where, you know, ended up being too deep and K-Jack was covered on the other side and I had the center. Yeah. And I just take the middle.
I love how you guys just remember that. I love it.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Take that middle.
Oh, that's the one thing we all, you know, the funny thing about that, the other thing is K-Jack would steal my balls. I probably would have caught more than that.
Walk me through that.
Because what happens is he comes out and he looks up and he's like, oh man, look at that middle.
Yeah.
And K-Jack would
take it where he went.
He'll throw his hands up in a heartbeat.
So he's going.
And he's going. No one else
got the choice.
He's got the choice.
But he's taking it.
And he's taking
it. You just got to give it to him.
Ain't nothing I can do.
Right, bro.
He's in front of me.
Exactly
so
right. Terry's in the backfield.
I got five yards.
He's just going to get there quicker.
This right
here. Right. He's got the head start. Oh, hilarious.
But that's the continuity of our offense. You know, Danny had him and OJ had their little signals here and there. If he looks at you. You know, you just know that quarterback and that relationship that you have. And all you do is look at him, and he knows exactly what you're thinking. Yeah. And then that's what made us really, really good.
Yeah, that silent communication was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, we also, like we talked about, we drilled it. We watched it on film. TK, at an early age, is over on the Club Med field, I call it, man. They was over there just chilling, you know, running routes. You know what I mean? Where I was over there running scout team, TK was on the other field.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, they figured it out like very quickly. Like, oh, we have something here.
I love scout team, Juice. You know that. I ran scout team receiver. I didn't run scout team running back. Right. I ran scout. You know what? I think that's another thing that really helped me out, route running and just being open. I would go and run scout team receiver. And I'd go against T-Buck and all them guys back in the day. And you know, they used to take it for granted that I was coming out there, but I enjoyed doing that because it just made me a better player.
Yeah. And he read the cards well. Yeah, make sure the cards.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know, right? You gotta read the cards.
Hey, if you can't read the card, you can't play. But the best part about that is if you do score on them, oh, man, yeah, that's bragging
as
right.
As scout team.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. If you score on a starting defense,
they hated that.
As a scout, running back, playing receiver, oh, yeah. What was T-Buck saying? Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. He was going to make a tackle. He'd be
right.
Like, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Run past.
Like two-hand touch or something?
That's it. Yeah. Gotcha.
We got to look at his tackle numbers. They're not that big. Yeah.
No, he's not that big.
Yeah, right.
Coach Buck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you did say it, T. 75 catches in that rookie year, man. That's outstanding, especially coming out of the backfield. Another 66 the next year.
Yeah, 66.
No, 66 and 95. Yeah, but then after that, the year after that, then Coach Shula's gone and Jimmy comes in. Mm. Right? You remember that part?
Oh, do I ever?
It sounds like it.
Oh, man.
Jimmy had everybody on edge.
He did. He had
everybody on edge.
Because we just didn't know what to expect. And I think that was one of those things that, because we were coming off such a great year, too. I mean, we were coming off, you know, playoffs, and we were coming in, and we're like, man, you know what? What's going to happen? And I knew I wasn't Jimmy's type of running back.
Why?
I was 6'2", you know, 220. Jimmy likes a shorter back, you know, and just the offense that we were going to run was going to be a lot of zone stuff. And I just felt like it was going to be different for me. You know, Jimmy's not a passing coach like that. And we weren't sure what was going to happen with Danny. Because, you know, the rumors were as soon as Jimmy came in, he's getting rid of Danny. Right. You know what I mean? That was the whole rumor. He was trying to do a whole nother, you know, Herschel Walker trade and all that stuff. And I think that was in the back of my head also. And then, you know, kind of hurt me pretty bad. I can remember when he came in and we go to training camp and we're in training camp. And, you know, when I'm practicing, I just shut my mouth, do my game, and I just play the game and I do everything I'm supposed to be told. And I can remember him coming talking to me. And, you know, and after the first game, I think we played in Chicago. And
First preseason game.
Mm-hmm. And he pounded the shit out of me that game. I mean, I think out of the first 10, 12 plays, I think I got 10 of them. Mm. And I was like, you know what? Right then, I kind of understood, and I had the rumor that I was going to be traded.
That's when you knew it, huh?
That's when I knew it. Yeah. And I remember coming back, and I went right up to his office. You know, I went up to his office and said, hey, coach, you know, I know that you're looking to trade me and stuff. And, you know, if you are, just go ahead and just let me know now, because I don't want to go out to practice and get hurt. And next thing you know, my worth is nothing. I said, if you're doing it, just go ahead and do it, or I'm not going to practice.
Mm. And what did he say?
And he didn't say nothing. I mean, he had to respect that. I mean, right. I was very respectful about
that. He didn't deny it or nothing.
Didn't deny it at all. So that was one of the things I was sitting there like, man, you know, after playing 3 years here, and this was my home. You know what I mean? This is where, you know, I wanted to end my career. And to have it go down the way it went down with that, you know, it was devastating.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you think about it, you were here for 3 years, big part of the offense, but then they ship you all the way across the country. It wasn't like you just went up to Tampa or Jacksonville or whatever. You went all the way out west.
And in a way, it was great because, you know, I was like, man, this is West Coast offense. I said, what more could I ask for, you know, coming off of watching Roger Craig and those guys out there being able to catch the ball. And actually, I was replacing Ricky. Because Ricky had went to
Ricky
to
Waters.
Philly. Yeah, Ricky Waters.
You say Ricky around here.
Ricky Waters had went to Philly at that time. And I was like, you know what? It's a great opportunity. But unfortunately, when I got there, the first game that I played in, which was the last preseason game, ended up getting a high ankle sprain. So that set me back learning an entire new offense.
Yeah, we were talking about that. You said you learned it in a week.
I had to learn it in a week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically what I had to do was take, you know, the Dolphins playbook and Raiders and the 49ers playbook and kind of mesh them together with terminology just so I could know what I was doing, you know, because it's a completely different blocking scheme.
So I want to tap back into what you were saying before getting to San Francisco, and you said you were devastated. And we see, look, this happens when there are coaching changes. There are changes that, right, there's a trickle-down effect, and players get changed, and some guys are better for this system. But a lot of times it's the veteran guys. A lot of times it's the guy that's been there 6 or 7 years and the coach doesn't want someone who either A, it's a bad fit, or B, they want their guys and this person's too ingrained. And Brian Cox is an example, right? We had B. Cox on here, Marco Coleman. They all talked about how that wasn't a fit and if they, you know, they all wanted to leave together and the whole thing. And I think Brian told us that, right? Mm-hmm. He told Jimmy that if you get rid of me, you might as well say goodbye to Troy and say goodbye to Marco. You'd only played 3 seasons. Like, you were a young, productive player. And so I wonder about that and the psyche. And as you said, you were really ingrained in this community. Hell, you're still here.
Yeah.
All these years later. So, you know, what is going through your mind at that point? You went up to him, so you knew it was coming. It wasn't a surprise. But are you questioning your own abilities, or are you just frustrated that you have to leave?
You're questioning your ability because you're like, you know, like you said, I was ingrained here. I had a good season. I didn't do anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong. And to sit there and say, you know, we don't want you anymore, you know, for a player, it's pretty devastating.
It had to be the first time in your career. Like, because you've always been the guy.
Yeah. And, I mean, I came in and, you know, it wasn't like I was a hard worker. I mean, it wasn't a hard worker. I mean, I come in and I work. You know, I mean, that's who I am.
Oliver, you know, boys, man, they, man.
For me, that's just more devastating than anything else. You put your heart and soul into something, and all of a sudden someone can come and, you know, take that away from you.
Yeah.
And not even that, though, like you said, going all the way out to California, and you're sitting there like, wow, man, I can't even believe I'm. Yeah. And you know what? It's the next day. You know, you're like, oh, you traded? You know, you got to pack a bag and go.
Yeah.
And you don't know anybody on that team until you get there. You know, it's not like I looked at the roster or anything like that. You get there and you're up in a hotel and all of a sudden you go over to practice and you're like, okay, who did I play against? Who do I know from college? You know, you try to find, you know, somebody that you know there and just try to fit right into a whole new group within a week. Now you're getting ready to play your first game. It's tough. It's a tough feeling. Especially going from Miami to San Francisco. Can't get much further away than that.
Now, do you, and you know, we don't want to go there, we don't have to, but I don't think I've asked this of other guys, but like, is that a resentment that you harbor moving forward?
Absolutely. I do. You know, I think you, in the back of your mind, you have to harbor it. I mean, every team that has ever happened to me before, you know, you don't know why, and sometimes they, you know, they feel like they ain't got to explain it to you. Mm. You know what I mean? You can always, if I'm not productive, sure.
Right.
Go ahead. But if I'm productive, why?
Right.
You know, if I'm a cancer in your locker room, I can understand why. But if I'm not any of those, then what was the problem? And then what happens is whoever comes in to replace you, if they don't do anything, if they don't perform, you're like, wow, you got rid of me for that.
Right. Are you watching that from across the country?
Oh, of course you are.
Wow.
Of course, absolutely you're watching that. And you're like, really, that's what you did. Yeah. And then you have friends that are still here like, man, I don't know why they, you know.
Absolutely.
Like why did they actually do that?
I'm one of those guys.
You know what I mean?
Well, I know you are.
And,
sure.
You know, and, you know, Danny's like, wow, you know, you took away one of his, you know, sure weapons, you know, and that's, to me, was like, you know, for me, it was gratifying because those guys knew my worth. You know what I mean? They knew what I was worth.
That's really all that matters at times,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
teammates. I know I get it. You know, the business decision or teams might do what they have to do, but knowing that your peers, how they feel about
absolutely.
You in those situations.
Absolutely. That's you know, that's for me, that's one of the things. It's happened a couple times in my career, and, you know, we've all been through adversity during our career times, and, you know, there's a lot of answers that we don't know. Hmm. And I don't think we'll ever know them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's something that that's tough, and you have to harbor that. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you just have to keep it in and just got to roll with the punches.
Well,
I guess.
Think it makes you who you are too
of course,
at times too.
Of
you
course.
Know what I mean?
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, I think in this game, guys, a lot of people take stuff so personal, and I think you could take it personal to a certain extent, but then you know what? You know, you hold it in and just, you know, let it go. You know, you talk about it. You know, you don't know why.
Right.
You can't answer it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes the answer may not satisfy that. Right?
Absolutely.
It's not going to scratch that itch anyway.
It's not going to. It's not at all. But you know what you've done. You know, as long as you've proven yourself on that field and you've done what you're supposed to do and you wasn't that cancer in the locker room, you wasn't that headache on the team, you still did what you're supposed to do, you know what? It just wasn't a perfect match.
Right.
That's it. That's right. All you can say.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
So, as we said, went to San Francisco a few years there. There was a stint in Cleveland. And then you go back out west to Oakland. And the thing that blows my mind is I start looking at your stats, and it's somewhere along the line, you become a fucking kick returner. Like, at 30 years old. How often does that? I went back and looked, and so like Mel Gray, one of the greats of all time, but he was always a kick returner.
That's it, yeah.
Fullback, tailback, receiving, you know, all of a sudden you're running, and you weren't just a kick returner. You're scoring touchdowns at 31, 32 years old. How did that transition even happen?
You know, I don't know. I'll tell you, well, what happened before that was San Francisco, when I was in San Francisco at those 3 years. Dexter Carter got hurt in San Francisco, so they put me back there just to catch the kicks. I knew I had short hands.
Right.
It was like, you know what, we just
but
need you to catch
usually there's like the bigger guy who at least can block if my little guy catches it.
No.
But you were returning the damn kicks.
Which was crazy. And then, you know, I went through that in San Francisco a couple years, a couple kicks here and there, and then all of a sudden go out to San Francisco, into Oakland. Now, we got running back by committee out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got five running backs, and then something happened with our kick returner, David Dunn, out there.
David Dunn,
receiver. He started fumbling or something, and they were like, "You know what?
I'll do it."
He can't be dropping the ball.
He said, "You got to go do it." I go, "All right." And next thing you know, it's crazy because I think I was like second in the league in yards and kickoff return. You know, and I was 30 years old.
Yeah,
30 years old, 6'2", 220 something as a kick returner.
The other part, which was nuts, was everyone said he's so slow. And I go, it was one of the things about me. They always say I wasn't fast. And I'm like, wow, if I'm returning kicks, and if I return one 100 yards, that means everybody on that other team must be slow as shit. I'm like, here I am. I'm averaging, over 27 yards of return or something like that. So I'm like, okay.
I must be really slow. Or these guys are slower than me. You know what I mean? I don't know what it was, but that was one of the things that everyone said. And it was, I can remember, oh man, what return was it? Maybe when I was in San Francisco, I did one for 101 yards. And Chris Berman was on there. And he was going through, yeah, his brother plays for the Cleveland Indians. He was like giving my whole bio, saying how slow I was.
during the whole kickoff return.
Oh yeah, his brother played this. He played two sports in college. He was doing my whole like life story. Are we ever gonna get
there? It's not a damn race, right?
I was like, well, shit, he could have done that for the whole other team.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious.
My first kickoff return for a touchdown. He's my personal escort. Yeah. So you know, he saw me get in as a rook, and so he just parlayed it 8-9
years
later.
Well, we told that story in the first part.
Yeah, you guys were both just glad.
We made the plane.
We made up for it, but that actually was our, you're in the NFL now, boys.
Sure
you're
was.
Part
yeah.
of this team.
Yeah,
you know, that was our coming out party, and was couldn't ask for anything better. And that was after that we got the respect we needed. You know what I mean? And we just took it and ran with it from there.
Well, but who knew that you were going to be actually taking the kickoffs and running with them?
Touchdown
at 31 and at 32 years old.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
So, yeah.
I was well retired by then, of course.
Yeah.
But, TK, I'm going to take a leap here, big leap here, TK. You retired following the 2002 season, and then you built a hell of a career as a personal trainer, gym owner, operator. You still do a ton of things in the community, respected guy in the fitness space as well. But when the hell did you become so interested in cornhole, man? I mean, come on. I mean, I got a couple boards myself. We throw it around a little bit, you know, in the backyard and stuff. But, I mean, you're the damn 2022 Super Hole 3 champion.
Super Hole 3.
I believe you're on the national team or some shit. Where'd this come from, man?
I don't know. It's, you know, like you said, we did it at tailgates and stuff. And I remember being at your house a couple times playing.
Lighting them up. I was like, wait a minute. Did he finally let us know that he was ranked in the state?
He was lighting us up.
And then he said, oh, yeah, I'm ranked in the state. I'm like,
well, it's funny because that was the first year I had ever, I played in one regional that year. And actually, I did well. And I never played in a tournament ever before. And then I stopped playing. I would just play here and there. And then, this past year, I decided I wanted to pick it up competitive. So I started truly playing, man. I started playing a couple regionals this year. I've won one regional partners. And then when I got invited to ACL, which is an unbelievable league, man. This place is amazing. You know, they're doing great things with this. They're trying to build a great brand. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to start playing, man. Right now I'm throwing bags. I try to get at least an hour in every day, if not 2-3 hours. I'm sitting there just throwing bags, hammer bag.
Absolutely. For cornhole.
I'm actually putting
in time. He's got bags in his gym. I know he does it right there.
Like, I don't know anything about cornhole, but I'm thinking like competitive cornhole. What does that mean? That you actually have to put the beer down and then focus on it? Like,
no, man. Some guys
so
can only play with beer.
You're doing a couple hours a day.
I mean, you think about it. Most of these guys are playing. They're drinking all day, though. They're drinking all day while they're playing at these tournaments.
So you're throwing bags 2 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, at least. I'm trying to, for sure. I have a set up in my house in my living room. So if I'm sitting there,
like, wait a minute, right here, man.
How far away are these things?
Well, it's 27 feet.
Damn.
So it's actually set up in the hallway, like through the hallway and then to the other end. So I'm trying to, if I'm sitting there doing nothing instead of watching TV.
I don't have a 30-foot track.
I'm just throwing it, baby. Just throwing it.
That's craziness. So what has that been like coming from being a professional football player and then now being in that arena?
Man, let me tell you something. It is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. You think golf is hard? This is hard.
What makes it so hard?
Well, that's one thing about ACL. That's the whole thing. Anyone can play. Mm-hmm. Anyone can play this game. I mean, there's actually kids that are six, seven years old that actually, if it wasn't the age limit for the pros, like you got to be 18 and over to become a pro, there's young kids, 10, 12, whatever, that could turn pro right now. But it's a lot to it, man. It ain't as easy as everyone thinks. You know, you got these guys out there that are, they don't miss. I mean,
right.
They don't miss at all. And now with the young guys coming up, you got guys like Matt Guy. Matt Guy is probably, we call him the Tom Brady of cornhole. He's been around probably 15 years. This guy is the real deal. He doesn't miss. And now you got these young guys that are coming up to actually take over his reign.
So where do you fall in?
Oh, I'm not pro yet, man. I have at least – this season just ended, is ending right now. Actually, this weekend I'm going out to Spencer McKenzie's. He has this – the world's largest cornhole event is out in Ventura, California this weekend.
So he's going to fly you in? You're a big cornhole player
flying
now.
In on Thursday and then play Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Unbelievable.
Man, you're talking – you're talking big time. You know, these guys – it's unbelievable. It's, right now, the guys are trying to make this actually an Olympic sport, man. They're actually playing this weekend in Europe. You know, they're getting the world round, so they opened up a whole nother rim of the ACL to hopefully in 2028 it'll be.
Is it a summer game or what? So it'll be a summer game.
Summer game.
Right. Olympic. Dude, we're talking before we got on, and I was saying how the pandemic helped cornhole a lot. I mean, that's always on TV, and I think I watch more of that than most sports, and now it became super popular with a lot of people because of that, no?
Yeah, that's when it became really big. You know, before you would see it here and there on ESPN2, if nothing else, but when the pandemic, it was pretty much the only sport that you could actually play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could almost, besides golf, you know, besides that, there was really no other sport where you could actually be competitive besides cornhole that was being on TV. So it worked out great for ACL because it made it grow. You know, the number one growing sport there is?
So what is it, the number one growing sport?
That and pickleball.
Yeah, sure. DJ Preach is a big pickleball.
Yeah, those are the two sports right now.
Do you play pickleball also?
No, I don't. I have played it, but see, the one thing
I
about
feel like cornhole, anything TK does, he's going to be
super
good
athlete,
at it.
I'm going to
try.
Athlete.
But that's what makes this game so competitive, man, because, you know, it's like golf. You know, you can go out there and play. You don't have to have big, strong, fast, athletic, whatever. You know, it does not matter. With this game, it's all about being in the middle, being in the middle, being in the middle, being in the middle. And now, you know, these young kids are rolling the bags over now. I mean, there's so many little tricks to your throw and all that you got to do. And listen, hands off to the ACL, man. This is a very humbling thing.
Well, we talked a little bit about your University of Virginia ties and a lot about it in the last episode, but there's another Kirby now. Your son has committed to UVA. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that commitment still?
That commitment's there.
My man,
that
commitment's there.
Yeah, man.
So, and Takai's is he a tight end?
Yeah, tight end.
So what is that like, man? Like the it's one thing to have that number retired. It's another thing to be, you know, it's now a legacy.
Yeah, it's great. You know what? One thing that people have to realize is it's a legacy, but he earned it himself. You know, and that's one thing I told him. I said, you know, if they're going to offer you, they're going to offer you on your ability. It has nothing to do with me. And a lot of people, they're like, yeah, whatever. And that's why when I went up there and he did the football camp, and actually he showed completely out.
Cool.
And, you know, and for me, that was a gratifying thing because, you know, last 2 years he was behind Jason's son. You know, he wasn't getting any burn because of that.
Not,
you know,
a pretty,
I mean,
good
so,
tight end.
No, not a great tight end. You know what I mean? So I just told the guy, just wait your time. You know, just learn, just mimic everything that, you know, Mason was doing, and that's what he did. And now when he went up there for this camp this past summer, you know, they were like, okay, you know what? We don't have a choice but to offer him. You know what I mean? Because he did it himself. And that's one thing I'm very proud of him.
I was going to say, how proud is Pops?
Great, because he didn't have any offers, you know, which is crazy. And everybody's like, why didn't he have any offers? You know, every camp we went to, they were like, how does this kid not have any offers? And I go, listen, he doesn't have any film.
He's just in the shadows.
Right.
He was in the shadows. Yeah. He doesn't have any film. I go, that's the reason why. And they were like, wow, we can't believe this. And all these parents were coming up to me. And I go, I'm not going to worry about it. But in his mind, he was worried about it.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing about, you know, having a son that, you know, wants to play this game on next level, and he's not getting, you know, the recognition that he deserves, and he's not getting it, and he sees all his other players getting all these offers, and
at a school like St. Thomas, it's got
to
be,
so
right.
it's sometimes it's tough. And then when that offer came up, we had went to Virginia Tech, we had went to North Carolina, and when they called me right after I left the camp, they were like, listen, we're going to offer your son. And I didn't say anything to Sakai, and they called him. And, you know, he was ecstatic. He goes, Dad, he goes, I'm done. He goes, I don't have to go to any
That's
other
awesome.
School. He goes, I could care less now.
Did he have the, I mean, obviously he wanted an offer, but did he, how much has he been exposed to Virginia because of your unique connection to the school?
He's been up, you know, a lot of times with me and stuff. But remember, Ta'Kai was very skinny, man. You know, I didn't know what he was going to be able to do because he was very tall. And then just like Mason, it was the exact same body type, you know, and they kind of grew into his body. And now, you know, he's 6'4", you know, 218, 220, which, you know, right now is like perfect size. And being a tight end right now and being an athletic tight end, let me tell you something. There's nothing better you can be right now in the NFL.
Dude, yeah, and tell your son to stop bullying me, man. At 6'4",
218. That's your fault. That's because you bullied him.
I do. I messed with him when he was little. I got it when he was little. You know, they grow up sometimes, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a blessing, man, to see your son, you know, and your children just start thriving and, you know, get it on their own.
That's awesome.
It is great. That's good stuff, man. I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to actually seeing him this year in high school, but then also, of course, when he gets up to the UVA. TK, since the last time, you know, we had you in the tank 4 years ago, we started something a little different.
Yeah, we didn't just get the fancy living.
Oh, yeah, we got all a couple little things we do different. We've got a thing called the two-minute drill now.
Uh-oh.
We're going to do is we're going to fire.
I love a two-minute drill.
Yeah, we know you do. That's your sign time right there. That's your sign time.
Couple days. Yeah, I'm good.
So we're going to rattle off a few questions for you, you know, in two-minute time period.
Pretty sure we'll have the clock.
And then, you know, answer how you want. You have zero timeouts.
Zero
2 minutes on the clock.
I got to answer every question.
Inside 2 minute warning. How you going to pass?
I'm just saying.
What do you think this is? Football. Can I say? You throw it away? You got to throw it away?
Nobody's asked to pass.
Got to get out of bounds. Stop the clock. Throw it out of bounds. Stop the clock.
We'll see. If you can get out of bounds, we'll see how it goes.
Some grounded.
Can I pass?
All right. You want to start off, Big Seth?
Yeah, okay. I'll start it off.
Or you want me to start off? You tell me.
It's up to you.
I'll start it off. Let's go.
There it is.
All right, TK. Ready?
Yep.
And go. Your number 42 jersey is retired at the University of Virginia. If Ta'Kai said he'd only play if he could wear that number, would you unretire it?
I would.
Of course you
absolutely
would.
Have he asked?
No, he has not asked.
Okay. All right. What number does he wear now?
He's ran 88.
Okay. All right. So you might be safe.
I'm good.
Okay. We talked about him earlier, Mark Dixon. You did not put him on your fish tank top five, which might be one of the reasons he said what he said. You did not put him on your fish tank top five. And then, of course, he slammed your game. If you were choosing a team today, picking guys in their prime, does Dixon have a shot to make it this time?
Oh, he has a shot.
Okay.
See, I totally forgot about him last time because I only played with him 1 year over there, really. Right. So I didn't get a chance to play with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mark's on there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on there.
All right, more exciting for you here. Return a kickoff for a touchdown. Or win a cornhole match.
Ooh.
I like that.
It's got to think about it.
Cornhole match against who, though? It depends on my professional. That's a good question.
Good question.
So, I mean, that's a tie. I mean, returning the kick, unbelievable. I go returning kick.
Yeah, because you don't see that much
I don't
anymore.
See that often.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. I hardly see it at all anymore.
Does anybody return anything?
Like, return them. Forget return.
Really going to average that? What's the average of – I wonder what the average on the kickoff return is right now.
It's not good.
It's not a lot.
Because remember, our whole thing is a kickoff return. Yeah. You had to get a first down. Right. So you had to get to the 30. The 20-yard line was
– you had to letting you come out to the 25.
Absolutely. Letting you come out to 25, then it would be –
the clock is running, gentlemen. It's a damn two-minute drill, okay? No. All right. Who is the better Miami Dolphins back, Terry Kirby as number 43 or Terry Kirby as number 42?
Ooh, 43.
Okay. That was 75 receptions.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more.
Better client to train, Dan Marino or Jason Taylor?
Dan Marino.
Why?
Because he didn't talk. Jason would talk back the whole time and say, I ain't doing that shit. Let me see you do it.
That's a two-minute drill. That's how you finish a two-minute drill. Terry Kirby, I'd expect nothing less. He's going to put that thing in the end zone. Man, we waited 4 years, but it was worth the wait. It was great to have you back in. We just had to get it right. We felt like this wasn't worthy. You know, we had to take an upgrade.
I appreciate it.
We finally
got
here.
You know what? I'm excited for you guys, man. I'm very happy where you guys have went, man. This is amazing. Well, I remember the starting journey, man. Starting a journey that you didn't know.
Right.
Doing the little picture in your pool.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
The photo shoot.
He couldn't get his ass under the water.
I didn't know how to let the air out.
I can remember. So, man, this is a blessing for you guys. I'm happy for you guys, man.
Appreciate you.
For sure. Absolutely.
DK, we appreciate you diving back in.
Absolutely. I love diving in.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Time to dive. sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank, it's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, gotta dive up in that fish tank. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. In that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank.